This weekend, only at Macy's, it's our lowest prices of spring. How low? Diamond rings, pendants, and earrings, only $399, originally $1,500. Ninja blenders, now $89.99. And $395 men's designer suits, only $99.99. So if you're wondering why you should shop Macy's lowest prices sale, well, the name pretty much says it all. It's our lowest prices for one weekend only. Starts tomorrow at Macy's. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
So, Case, we actually had several episodes of the TFL Talking Trucks podcast that were on location recently.
Yeah.
So we were traveling around. So we haven't been in the studio for very long recently. And so much happened. I don't know where to start. Like, so much truck news.
There's a lot to talk about. We've been out testing a lot of new trucks, especially HD trucks.
Yep.
Which is always our favorite.
Yeah.
I would say it's definitely my favorite.
It's mine too.
Yeah. So there's been a ton going on. There's also a lot of news going on, so plenty for us to talk about today.
Yeah, so I kind of want to structure this episode of the podcast in kind of two, maybe three big sections. The first one is kind of rapid-fire news.
Sure.
Also, part of that, my second section is sales data, because this is April 2025, and every manufacturer in the United States basically published their sales results for Q1, the first quarter of the year. And I want to discuss that a little bit and also kind of talk about all of our heavy duty truck testing.
Yeah, because at this point, we've run the three HD trucks on the market, all diesel, through the battery of tests that we like to run any truck through, with important stuff like getting them on the Ike gauntlet, doing some towing, and not so important stuff like drag racing.
Well, but also fun.
Yeah, yes. Well, we like to have fun.
We've done a couple of road trips. We've taken all three trucks to Moab, although not at the same time.
Not all at the same time.
We took two of them at the same time together, the Chevy Silverado Trail Boss and then the heavy-duty Rebel Ram Cummins. So we did that. And then you took the Tremor, the Power Stroke Tremor, also to Moab, but slightly later. Like
yeah,
a different time.
And we took the new F-250 Tremor to Moab with a 100-year-old Ford truck on the trailer behind it that we also drove a little bit in Moab, and that video went up pretty recently. So we can talk about all the cool stuff we've been doing with trucks.
Well, how much time do we have? Do we have like a couple of hours?
Yeah, we're going to have to speed run it, man.
We got to use our hour clock.
Sure.
Our hourglass.
We timed this hourglass, and it does about 14 minutes and 24 seconds.
Yeah, so as long as we keep flipping it, you know, four or five times, we know we're doing
it. We'll see
good.
If we remember.
So let's start with rapid-fire news. So
yeah.
First of all, the folks in other markets, especially like Australia, they're getting a 2026 Ford Ranger Super Duty, which is a little confusing naming for us.
It is, because over here, the Super Duty has always been F-250 and up. It's never been an F-150. It's never been a Ranger. Super Duties are those trucks in particular, and not this. But this Ranger Super Duty that the Australian market is going to get is so cool. It might even be cooler than the Ranger Raptor, which we absolutely love. So that's a big statement.
Exactly. And we received a few messages from you guys asking us, what do we think of the new Ranger Super Duty? And that's what we think. It's super uber cool I don't know if we'll ever get a chance to drive one, because unless you and I fly.
We might have to go to Australia to drive it, which
yeah.
I'm okay with that. If that's what you're suggesting, this sounds like this was your idea.
Yeah.
Twist my arm, man. I'll go.
So basically what this truck is, it's a midsize truck. It's still a Ranger, but it's got some heavier hubs and axles under it.
Yeah, isn't this going to be 8-lug?
It's 8-lug midsizer.
On a Ranger.
Bam.
That's so cool.
I'm raising the roof right now. I mean, it's great for a work environment, right? It specifically was built for construction, maybe mining.
Look at that
wheel. That's almost military looking. If you're watching it on TFL Talk YouTube channel, you'll see some images of this truck. If you're just listening to us, thank you.
If you're listening, you can Google along.
Google along Ranger Super Duty, or just watch us on YouTube. Super cool. Lots more capability. Upwards of 10,000 pounds of towing from a midsizer.
Which is a massive number. And to do that, They didn't just give it those 8-lug wheels. They beefed up the frame, obviously suspension. The other really cool thing about this is powertrain is going to be available with a diesel V6,
yeah,
which is
well,
pretty sweet.
And of course, we probably will never get it in the United States.
I doubt it.
Unless a lot of different stars and moons align.
Too many.
Do you remember if it's going to have a manual option? I don't think so. I think that was the Tasman.
I don't think I saw a Tasman.
But nonetheless.
Still diesel.
Yeah, the interior is just like we're used to, except the steering wheel is on the other side, maybe the wrong side of the vehicle.
Yeah, and then other than the auxiliary switches overhead on the interior, it doesn't look like they did anything super crazy with the dash or the rest of the inside layout, but visually, they have distinguished this a lot because it's not only the underpinnings they've gone and changed. It's some of the exterior actual visual elements, big fender flares like you were mentioning, some very rugged looking wheels. It sounds like it's also going to have some underbody protection.
Raised air intake.
So this will be a vehicle that will not only be able to pull around 10,000 pounds behind it, which is awesome for a midsize truck, but it looks like a truck that would be able to hold its own on a trail.
And it also could be the dream of overlanders and campers anywhere, right?
Because you could just pile stuff on top of it.
Yeah. You put a rack system, you put a camper or maybe a tent on top of that rack. You can bring all of the things with you. And, I mean, the cab is not humongous, but you and I have tested our Ranger Raptor many, many times, and most of us fit in the back seat of the Ranger pretty well. And yeah, the front seats
are comfy.
It's
not the worst in the segment, that's for sure. And it's usable. It's, like you said, it's not the biggest cab in any truck, but there's so much cool going for this vehicle. And all of this stuff is cool because it's done to a midsize truck. Because if you want a rugged diesel pickup truck that can go on a trail, the F-250 Tremor or any of its competitors that we can get here in the States,
we'll do it.
You can buy.
Yeah.
This is cool because they're doing these things to a midsize truck. So the fact that it is compact, but it's got some of these features we're talking about, that's what just makes this stand out and what makes it really rad.
Exactly. And 34-gallon fuel capacity, that's...
which is huge.
Yeah, that's like, well, really half-ton or heavy-duty territory.
That's a lot.
I mean, yeah. So we could talk about this for hours. Let's move on. Because Tommy went to South Korea, actually, for the auto show. And, by the way, thanks to Hyundai for inviting us. That was really special. And he saw a Kia Tasman there.
Yeah, and the Tasman has also been in the news quite a bit, partly because it's got, I don't think it's anything new to say that it's got controversial styling. It's a very interesting looking
it's
truck.
It's very controversial.
Yeah, but some really cool features on this truck.
Yeah, and he saw several different versions. They had an Off-Road X Pro version of it in this kind of sand color with black accents.
Which matches his shirt.
He looks like he's ready to jump into it.
But look at that. It's accessorized, so it's got kind of a rugged-looking bed cap on the back of it.
And side steps.
Slightly knobbier tire, roof rails.
Yeah. Yeah, the styling is something to behold. I don't know what it looks like in person. You know how vehicles sometimes look differently in person?
For sure. You kind of got to withhold judgment.
Yeah.
A little bit.
And until you actually see it in the sunlight or actually see it in person. But yeah, it's kind of an odd design.
It is.
But on the inside, Tommy said, and he has a video about this on TFL Truck YouTube channel, very premium, very, you know, on par with the Ranger, the Toyota Hilux or the Toyota Tacoma, just on par with the latest and greatest in technology and in comfort features.
Yeah, which is cool because you've got a rugged exterior with a lot of cladding and very boxy, but an interior that still gives you some of the design and comfort features that you want. Still a kind of boxy steering wheel, which mm-hmm. I like, but some ambient lighting, some different textures and materials on the seats and everything that make it a little bit more of a comfortable looking truck to be in. So this is one that I would be really interested in looking at myself, just poking around it and going for a drive whenever that's possible.
Yeah, we may also have to go to Australia for this one.
Yeah.
Hey, now our case is building. Our business case of traveling to Australia.
Those videos would do well. So don't discount it. It could actually happen.
Yeah, comparing different trucks that we don't get somewhere else, Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Tasman, just really quick, it's a body on frame, solid rear axle, rear locker is available or optional. Tommy is like pointing to some of these buttons right now on the video. It also has a trailer brake controller integrated.
Yeah.
What's not to love? I mean, it's
a
really cool
truck. A lot of smart stuff. These are many of the things that we like to see in any pickup truck.
So who knows if this will also come to the United States, because really it would have to be built in North America or United States.
For sure.
Because of different, you know, chicken tax or tariffs, situations.
As with any pickup truck, it's pretty impractical to try and build it outside of the States, as we've seen with the Ineos Grenadier Quartermaster.
Yeah.
Very much more expensive than the SUV version just because it has that bed and it gets taxed 25%.
Okay, so that's just like a little taste of the news.
Rapid fire.
Rapid fire. But now let's look at sales. Let's start, where should we start? Mid-size or full-size? Where do you want to go?
Let's go from small to large.
All right, small to large. And actually, mid-size includes little baby pickups like the Maverick.
That's true. They kind of get lumped in the sales numbers.
You just drove the Lobo, didn't you?
I did. I just came from that event. Is this podcast going to publish at a time where I can talk about how it drives?
Yes.
Cool.
Yes. Perfect. So tell me all about drifting a Lobo. Did you try to drift it?
A little bit, yeah. Okay. I think it's definitely possible to drift a Lobo. It's not a Mustang.
We have to explain what the Lobo is a little bit.
So the Lobo is the performance version of the Maverick. To my understanding, Lobo means wolf in Spanish.
Yes, that's my understanding also. I'm not a Spanish expert.
Yeah.
But yes, it's a wolf.
Yeah, and this is the same EcoBoost engine that we've tested in a lot of Bronco Sports, which, if you've ever driven the 2-liter Bronco Sport, you'll actually probably be pretty impressed with how well it merges in with traffic. They're not super slow. So the same is true here of the Lobo. It's decently quick. It's a fun vehicle to drive. They give you paddle shifters. The paddle shifters aren't the most satisfying things to use. They're a little plasticky, and they don't have a very large range of motion. But I love the wheels and some of the available styling that you can fit to the Lobo here. It's lowered a little bit, and it's got a pretty trick rear differential like what you would find in the Tremor. So you can have some fun with the handling. It's got a bunch of different modes. One of them is a Lobo mode that they say you're only supposed to use on the track.
And so it's actually named Lobo
for
driving.
And I was actually pleasantly surprised at how fun this was to drive. They set up a little autocross course for us, so I was able to hustle this truck around, and it was fun. It's not the fastest autocross vehicle in the world, but it handles well enough, doesn't have tons of body roll, reasonable amount of grip, and pretty responsive and adequate power output, that this on an autocross was at least a good time, if not blazingly fast.
Yeah, so you mentioned like the rear differential, the trick, basically clutch-based.
Yeah.
On the Tremor, on the off-road versions, it's used as a locker, right, as a locking differential.
And you would have loved it. They had a cutout of it at the event.
No way.
I made Cole get a shot of it.
Thank you, Cole. And so we can actually see it if we watch your video on TFL. So check out oldtfl.com once again. I love those cutaways. Dude, I was recently in the Mack Museum, Mack Truck Museum.
Yeah.
They had so many cutaways of the historic engines, historic transmissions, manual transmissions, automatics. Dude, I was in heaven.
Our sources at the manufacturers tell us that those are pricey things to make. Actually,
those complicated differentials.
Cutouts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and the cutouts.
The cutouts. Yeah. Those displays.
Well, because you're first of all, you're ruining a differential. You're cutting it.
And to get it all polished and cut the right way and make it look nice and presentable, apparently pretty difficult to do.
And also conveying the information you want to convey, right?
But it
because,
was cool to see.
You know, you want to see some of the clutches, you want to see how it works, some of the gears.
Yeah, on that Lobo differential, you could see the clutch packs that were on each side of the pinion. And you could see some kind of actuators that were placed right over top of those clutch packs. So pretty neat visual. And definitely the Lobo, for something with a bed on the back of it, handles well.
But I mean, styling is, you know, in the eye of the beholder, you know, if you love it or hate it. But once again, it's something you want to experience in person, probably.
We were talking about this earlier, yeah, just off camera. The grill is arguably a little controversial on the Lobo.
Yeah.
I thought that it looked better in person than looking at it through pictures. It didn't bother me a ton walking up to the truck. It's a unique look for sure, but not one that really puts me off in any huge way. I think some of the biggest drawbacks with this truck, for one, especially if you spec them out with a lot of extra features, yeah, they can get kind of pricey.
What is it, like 45 grand
you
or so?
You can spec it into the mid $40,000 range, yeah, which for a truck of this size is a good chunk of money.
Yeah, it is quite a bit of money. Also, payload and towing are an issue, right,
for this one? Yeah, on the Lobo, so 2,000 pounds of towing. Our Maverick Hybrid all-wheel drive has a max tow package that brings it up to 4,000 pounds of towing, but this is a very specific suspension. It's also a 7-speed version of the Maverick's transmission instead of the 8-speed that you'll get in other Mavericks. So there's a lot done to this to make it a little bit sportier of a drive, and that has, like you said, some impact on what you can spec it out to tow and also your payload. The other thing, too, for $45,000, parts of this interior feel cheap. It's a good-looking interior. They bring some cool angles and design and colors. But as far as if you search around with your hands and pinch some different parts of the plastic, not everything feels fantastic. And if you've been in any Maverick in the past, that's true of all of them. It starts out in life or in the lineup as a pretty inexpensive truck. So you would expect to find some inexpensive materials here and there. But when you're looking at a truck that's about $45,000, then that gets to be a little bit more of a critique than something that you just shrug off.
This weekend, only at Macy's, it's our lowest prices of spring. How low? Diamond rings, pendants, and earrings, only $399, originally $1,500. Ninja blenders, now $89.99. And $395 men's designer suits, only $99.99. So if you're wondering why you should shop Macy's lowest prices sale, well, the name pretty much says it all. It's our lowest prices for one weekend only. Starts tomorrow at Macy's. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
Exactly, because I mean, it used to be what in 2022 about 20 grand. Or 26 grand now.
And at that price, you can 100% excuse some cheaper plastics. I'm not saying that it's a deal breaker here on the Lobo. I think it's a fine interior. Yeah. I like the seats and I like the way it looks and I like the screens. But yeah, just don't go searching too far.
So I'm wondering how successful it will be. We'll have to wait and see exactly. You know, I'm sure, you know, maybe, you know, the West Coast, some of the big cities on the West Coast may buy a lot of these. I don't know if we'll see many here in Colorado necessarily.
Yeah, it's all-wheel drive, so it would work.
Yeah, yeah, we'll have to wait and see.
You could definitely use it. But back to sales.
Yeah, back to sales. So we have first quarter sales for midsize and compact trucks. So speaking of Ford Maverick, which is a little bit lower on the page here, the sales went down a little bit, but they're still selling a lot of Mavericks. So 38,015 Mavericks were sold in the first 3 months, which if you multiply it by four for the year, that's almost 150,000, 160,000 of them.
Which is good sales and pretty consistent to what it was first quarter of 2024. It's 1,000 units off.
Yeah.
Also considering the fact that they've been over the last couple of months transitioning into the new Maverick, so there might have been people holding off on buying a Maverick until the new ones came out. And also them ramping up production on the new Mavericks. So there could be some amount of impact there.
Yeah, and Hyundai Santa Cruz is also here because it's basically a competitor to the Maverick, slightly different, maybe a little bit more refined in some areas. Sales of the Santa Cruz are down 21% year over year from 2025 to 2024 Q1. And they're only about selling 6,600 of them a quarter.
Yeah, so the Santa Cruz sales are dwarfed by the Maverick, it's fair to say. And it's still just a couple thousand roundabout down on sales, but when you're selling less than 10,000, that's a much bigger percentage. So there's maybe just a little bit of a reduction in interest in compact trucks.
Yeah, it's hard to say.
Hard to say.
And right now, a lot of things are happening in the industry, including, you know, the tariff announcement that just came out, what, a few days ago.
Yeah.
And also some manufacturers responded with employee pricing on all of their vehicles.
Yeah. Ford included.
Ford included, and Stellantis is included in this. I'm not sure about Hyundai right now. What they're doing as far as some incentives.
Yeah, it's a little tough to keep track because things are very volatile. There's a lot going on in the news world, which is nice, for one, because that gives us a lot to talk about at work.
But it's a lot to keep track of.
It is, yeah.
So that might affect, you know, April and May and June sales a little bit, so we'll have to wait and see. Let's take a look at the midsizers moving up, because Toyota Tacoma has been, you know, locked in as the leader for last several decades, or at least years. And it's the same here. And they had a slowdown when the new one was coming online, right? So a year ago, if you looked at the sales of the Tacoma, they sold in Q1 of 2024 about 21,000 of them.
Yep.
In the first quarter of this year, 2025, almost 60,000 Tacomas were sold.
Yeah, and there generally seems to be increased interest in mid-sized trucks. But it is interesting to see just how well this new Tacoma is doing. Like you said, off to maybe a little bit of a slow start. But for all of the flack that we see these new Tacomas getting online, definitely a very vocal community of people that don't like seeing the departure of the old, very durable V6. For all of that, there still seems to be a large demographic of buyers that are interested in the new Tacoma and that are following through with their actual purchasing decisions.
Yeah, but they're still number one. If you combine Chevy Colorado and GMC Canyon sales, they're at about 35,000. So there's still, what, almost 25,000 off of total Tacoma sales, which they still have a ways to go. But they improved in a big way, about 71% as well. A Ranger is back also, sold about 15,000 over the last 3 months.
Yeah,
not bad.
Which is good numbers in the midsize segment. It's a little bit better than the Frontier. Frontier is actually doing decently well, which makes sense, because the Frontier is still a little bit more of an old school kind of offering in the midsize truck market for those who still want a naturally aspirated V6, kind of like an evolution of what the third gen Tacoma was.
Yes.
Is what the current Frontier kind of became.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's a good truck. Gladiator is aging.
And sales are sliding down. By the way, Nissan Frontier sales also decreased.
That's true.
Gladiator is still here, sold about 12,000 over the last 3 months. Honda Ridgeline sold about 11,000 trucks over the last 3 months. Not a huge change there. But GMC Canyon also improved in sales. And it's almost knocking on the door of the Ridgeline and the Gladiator as far as numbers are concerned.
Yeah, the Colorado, definitely the bulk seller between GM's midsize trucks.
Yeah, and overall the market improved by 49% as far as midsize trucks in the U.S. 2025 versus 2024. That's a huge improvement. I think it's driven by several factors. I mean, it's kind of hard to say, but probably price is one, because if you cannot afford a heavy-duty truck or a full-size truck, the next truck you could afford probably is a midsize truck.
Yeah.
So it kind of makes sense that the midsize segment is currently has a lot of life in it.
Yeah, and as capability goes up on mid-sized trucks, they suit more and more people's needs. Those tow ratings always climb up slowly, gradually over time, as do the payload figures. And at this point, for a lot of people's needs, the difference between getting a mid-sized truck and a full-sized truck, other than space in the rear seat, might not be that significant.
Yeah, so that's cool. Now let's take a look at full-sized trucks and heavy duties. Let's take a look at what's going on here. We can get a little preview. I did all these numbers. I kind of went through line by line as well. And there's a couple things going on. First of all, overall, the market for full-size trucks, this is including heavy duties, was up about 7.4%. Also a significant improvement. I mean, 7% is a big number.
Nowhere near what we just saw with the midsize.
No, but still a sizable number.
Still good.
And of course, the full-size segment is a lot larger than overall. It's about 5 times larger than the midsize segment. Overall, the full-size truck segment was about 516,000 trucks overall. But if you combine Silverados and Sierras, they're still number one as far as manufacturer is concerned.
Yeah, so it's less compared to Ford if you separate GMC and Chevy. But if you combine GM's two different truck brands, then, yeah, that's the bulk seller. Over 200,000 trucks sold in the first quarter of 2025. That's a lot of trucks.
Yeah, and then they improved, that number improved by about 5.1%. But Ford came back in a very strong way last quarter in Q1, sold about 190,000 F-Series trucks. This includes F-250s through F-600s.
Yeah.
And they were up 24.5%. So they were able to pick up a lot of ground last quarter. It may have something to do with the slide on the Ram side, potentially, because Ram was struggling to sell as many trucks. So maybe Ford came in and maybe picked up a few customers there. It's kind of hard to say.
Yeah, sales on the Ram are down a little bit. They're similar in first quarter of 2025 to what GMCs are selling in production numbers. And it makes a bit of sense because we've known for a while now that the new Ram trucks are coming. So again, kind of like we were talking about before, there might be people that are waiting for that new generation of the truck with the ZF 8-speed automatic and the other improvements that they've brought along could be part of it.
Exactly, but Ram truck sales went down about 11.8%. Toyota Tundra also slid a tiny bit down, sold about 35,000 trucks. And then it's a little bit cloudy as far as the data is concerned for like how many Cybertrucks were sold, how many Rivian R1Ts were sold, because Tesla and Rivian, they don't break out those numbers when they report them. Electric trucks are still selling. Hummer moved about 3,400 electric trucks and SUVs last quarter.
Big improvement over the previous quarter, but the same quarter in the previous year.
Yeah.
But it's nowhere near the numbers that we're seeing with most of these other truck categories.
Exactly. And the Sierra EV is now online. They sold about 1,249 trucks. Silverado EV sold about 2,300. And I was talking to our friend Sam from a Wheel Bearings podcast.
Yeah.
And Sam actually, because I asked him if he had any extra data, for some of the electric trucks. He said not quite yet. He's still waiting for some of the registration data to come in. Because that's the only other way we can estimate that number. But he was thinking maybe about 11,000 Cybertrucks were sold in the first 3 months of 2025, which puts it kind of up there.
That's big sales compared to the others on the board.
But nowhere near to what was promised a year ago, right, when Tesla was reporting 1 million reservations for the Cybertruck. So 11,000 in 3 months is a completely different number.
And then finally, we've got HD trucks, right?
Yeah, so not many companies break out HD trucks, but at least we know that, here we go. So we know how much Silverado HD and Sierra HD, how they're doing. They're doing actually better than light-duty GM trucks. They're improving sales, which is something to take note of. And also Sierra light-duty improved a lot more than the Silverado light duty. So it looks like a lot of customers are preferring the Sierra over the Silverado.
Yeah, and that could come down to styling. Hard to say.
Yeah, and maybe some people prefer just more comfort and a more fancy truck. Maybe it's a business expense for some of the customers choosing that truck. So it's kind of interesting. Ram heavy duty, like you said, it's a turnover time. So they were down about 12.6% for the quarter. So all these numbers are at TFL site.
If you want to read about it in detail.
Yeah. So if you want to see a little bit more detail. But we gotta switch gears a little bit and talk about our heavy duty truck testing,
because there's been a lot of it recently. I figure maybe we should start out, if sounds good to you, with probably the most important bit of HD truck testing that we did recently, which would be the Ike.
Yeah, because this is kind of where the rubber meets the business, because heavy-duty trucks are about pulling trailers primarily, right? You wouldn't buy a heavy-duty pickup truck just to commute to work,
Just seeing that image, I get the song in my head.
Yes, you're a better artist singer than
I am. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That was my best effort.
It was also a premiere of my new cowboy hat.
Yeah, but you got a new one.
Yeah,
it's nice.
But that's beside the point because just I couldn't find a hat that fits my head.
Finally invested in a cowboy hat. That's one to keep.
Yeah, and
for a
you know what
time.
Was really upsetting? Mr. Chuck didn't like it. But it's a personal thing, you know.
Yeah, man. Some,
you know,
he
not
can't please everyone.
Not everybody will like everything.
Yeah.
So
I like your hat. I think
so
cool.
iGauntlet, we've been doing it for what 13 years approximately.
Long time.
We call it the world's toughest towing test because it's running over 8 mile stretch of the I-70 Eisenhower Tunnel grade, and it's a 7% grade. Which we talked in the previous episode about doing Davis Dam versus the Ike and the differences there. But really, I would say this is a little bit tougher because of the higher elevations and also the consistency of the grade. There's not a lot of flat spots.
Especially on the downhill. Davis Dam is not too difficult on the downhill. The Ike on the downhill, getting your truck and trailer combination to maintain a certain speed without having to ride your brakes the entire 8 miles downhill, which you don't want to do for obvious reasons, is very difficult at that grade, especially when you're towing the maximum that you're rated for. These HD trucks all have pretty different enough max tow ratings that we weren't going to do the absolute max that they were rated for. Plus,
yeah,
doing a super Ike like that, especially with three trucks in a single day, would be pretty difficult to do. Already, this test between these three trucks pulling the same trailer in one day, I don't think you guys got back to the office until 8 o'clock or something?
Well, yeah. I think we got back at like 6:30 p.m., but the trailer was still loaded, so I had to go to the ranch and actually unload it. That's a 12-hour day. So, yeah, that's difficult enough. And really the reason, one of the reasons why we didn't pull like, I don't know, 18,000 pounds or something like that, which we could have, is because, I'm sorry to say, the payload rating on the heavy-duty Rebel was a little bit lowish. So that was my only primary issue with the new Cummins-powered Ram truck for 2025, is in the 2500 series, specifically 2500s. I'm not talking about 3500s, but for 2500s, the payload numbers are way lower than I expected. And
yeah,
I think it has to do with the suspension design and kind of the focus that Ram gives that truck, especially the heavy-duty Rebel, which is a little bit more focused on off-road capability. But
yeah,
that was a little disappointing.
Like you've said in the past, the 3500 Rams, the new 3500 Rams are much more competitive with the Fords and with the Chevys in their payload figures. 2500 is not as much, and especially when you've got a very luxurious and also slightly off-roady model. The cool thing is that all of the trucks that we tested on the Ike and all the other tests that we did, drag racing and off-roading, they're all very similarly spec'd. Ford was a Tremor, the Ram was a Rebel, and the Chevy is a Trail Boss. So
yes,
they're all the kind of mild, rugged trims that you can get on HD trucks and all diesels, of course.
And I want to thank, obviously, you know, Ford gave us a loan of the Tremor, F-250, Chevy we own personally,
yep,
so it's a company truck. And of course, Ram gave us a loan of the Ram Rebel.
Yeah.
But I specifically constructed it this way, as much control as I had, so it wasn't like, I don't know, like a street version of the truck versus an off-road version of the truck, right?
Well, because we want to do a combination of things with our testing. And the nice thing for some of the disadvantages you get, the upside with the off-road trims on the HD trucks is that we can also test them on the trail. We know it's not the primary thing that these trucks are designed to do, but it is still something that people do, and it's something that people are interested to see and know about. So it's testing that we want to do, if nothing else, for our own entertainment.
Well, yeah, but also it's a growing popular segment. And
yeah,
also, like, let's just talk about the Trail Boss just for a second. A lot of the bits on the Trail Boss, other than the pretty great BFG KO3 tires, are kind of cosmetic. You know, the wheels are, you know, painted black.
And they're 20-inch wheels.
They're 20-inch wheels, just like the Rebel.
Big wheel.
There's painted bumpers. There's some stitching. There's a painted grille. There's red tow hooks on the Chevy. So a lot of those items are cosmetic, not very functional. It's still a functional vehicle overall, of course. But And I was wondering, why is this, you know, it's because they sell, you know, the image of the truck is important.
Yeah.
You know, you want to walk up to the truck or leave the truck in the parking lot and be proud of it, right?
And I get that. If you're spending a lot of money on a truck, I would want it to look good too. If it's just going to be a company vehicle, then it can be basic work truck white, vinyl floors.
Maybe a chrome bumper or
something. The most basic wheels and everything. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, no problem because that's a company vehicle. But if it's something that you're buying to do work and do the things that you need a truck to do, but also to be your personal vehicle that you are hopefully excited about, if you're going to spend that kind of money on it, then it might as well look good too. So definitely a lot of cosmetic features, but some nice actual upgrades as well. The Trailboss has kind of a G80 style rear locker.
Yeah, so it's not a selectable locker.
Yeah, the other two have selectable rear lockers.
Exactly. And since let's finish the Ike.
Sure,
just
a
second.
Yeah,
because we're kind of we're drifting into...
We're getting into off-road territory.
We're drifting into off-roading. So the video we published is 48 minutes long. It's a sizable video, and it's because Mr. Chuck and I and the team, we really wanted to give as much detail as we possibly could.
And there's a lot of runs up and down.
We reviewed the receiver hitches on all three trucks. They're all very, very good. It's very rare where Mr. Chuck and I agree.
Yeah.
On a lot of stuff, but we agreed that the hitches are very easy to use. And I think maybe manufacturers were listening to some of our comments over the last 13 years about some of these items, and they're doing really, really well. All three trucks descended the mountain with one brake application, which was one of the best results that we've ever had.
Yeah, because they all have exhaust brakes, so they all handle the downhill exceedingly well.
And Ram, we mentioned this already in previous videos. Ram, I think we agree on this, has one of the best exhaust brake features of them all.
Yeah, it's very, very consistent, very predictable, which is nice.
And also has some feedback. You can actually hear it.
Yeah, you can hear it. You can feel it. I feel that the Ram exhaust brake slows you down the most aggressively. So even if you found yourself on maybe a slightly steeper grade, it might start to do even a little better than the exhaust brakes on the other two. But the other two as well have some pretty major things going for them.
And the Ford system, they also have an automatic feature just like Ram. GM does not have this automatic feature on the exhaust brake right now, which kind of maintains a certain speed. So an exhaust brake is basically partially closing the exhaust path, building back pressure, and that kind of slows down your vehicle. And GM is good at slowing you down, maybe not the best at it, but you kind of have to prod it and you kind of have to accelerate because it won't maintain the same speed.
Right.
Basically. So it's a little bit, people wrote comments. Of course, you commented and said, Andre, why don't you put it into cruise control and just let the vehicle handle it? But then we won't be able to really measure how many times are we touching the brakes, right?
Yeah.
So we won't be able to measure that.
Yeah, it's just not how we run the Ike. But on the uphill, the nice thing about all of these trucks is that they have great power and tons and tons of torque. The newest of these trucks is the Ram, and the newest thing about the Ram's powertrain is the new ZF 8-speed, which we already got to test a fair amount on the launch event for the truck. We had it at Davis Dam, like you mentioned, and we're towing close to 20,000 pounds at one point, so got to feel out the truck a little bit. That new 8-speed is definitely a huge improvement over the old 6-speed, but the Ford and the Chevy both have 10 speeds.
Exactly. And I want to compliment also, again, the Ram new 8-speed transmission. Very, very smooth. And I think it matches the smoothness of the other GM and Ford transmissions. Of course, we're not talking reliability right now. I mean, we'll have to wait and see how all of that shakes out. But the smoothness and the capability of the transmission is very, very nice. Also, we were monitoring some of the temperatures during all of these towing tests. And the Ram transmission seemed to be having the coolest temperature of, I believe, about 155 degrees Fahrenheit. We're pulling, 11,000 pounds. This is not a total joke. So the trailer is actually sizable. We're pulling a skid loader, skid steer, which is a lot of people use for, projects around your farm, maybe construction projects. So it's kind of predictable amount of kind of a trailer load. And yeah, I just love the new transmission in the Ram. Really nice. But here's some data. So the Ram happened to be the most efficient up the mountain at 4.9 mpg. Remember, this is pulling 11,000 pounds, almost full throttle a lot of the time for 8 miles.
Yeah.
So these numbers, overall are not super high, but they're compared to the Chevy Duramax at 4.6 and the Powerstroke at 4.8. So the Cummins was just a tiny bit more efficient on the way up the mountain, but it didn't accelerate quite as quickly as that big monster Powerstroke.
Yeah, and it makes sense because the Powerstroke, 500 horsepower, 1,200 pound-feet of torque, the Ram, 430 horsepower, and 1,075 pound-feet of torque. So down on power compared to the high-output Ford, which is what we were testing against, the standard output Ford is, 475 horsepower?
Yeah, still more.
And 1,075 pound-feet of torque.
Yeah, so very similar to the Cummins.
Pretty similar, 40 more horsepower, but torque is kind of the main consideration. And then the Duramax, of course, 470 horsepower, so very similar to the standard output Ford and a bit more than the Cummins, but 975 pound-feet of torque, so the least torque by about 100.
So when the dust settled on the iGauntlet, just to wrap up that portion, Mr. Truck and I, we voted for the Ford. And it was very, very close. We discussed this in detail. You guys can watch the video. But the fact that Ford had all the gauges we wanted, like the Ram, it was a little bit quicker, a little bit easier to drive as far as just the ease of it, right? Just pulling the trailer as if it doesn't even exist. It was a little bit quieter, too, in the cabin, just a hair quieter. So by the narrowest of margins, we kind of voted for the Ford. A lot of people made fun of me. They said it was very predictable that I always vote for the Ford on the Ike. That's not completely true because I remember we tested duallys, all the big pickup trucks in 2017, and the Duramax won that comparison.
Yeah. And you've owned a Duramax in the past.
Yes, exactly, 2002. But Ford had a slight edge here on the Ike. But let's talk about the drag race.
Yeah, drag race was interesting. It's not really what we expected when we were sitting down and talking about it, because if you just look on paper,
the Ford was going to win this.
Yeah, the Ford was easily going to win. Now, to kind of kick things off with talking about the drag race, it's also worth mentioning, of course, drag racing, not what HD trucks are designed to do, granted, but we're just some guys with trucks and cameras and we have access to a drag strip.
To an airstrip.
Oh, come on. We're going to do a quarter mile.
But also, you mentioned, enjoying the looks of your truck. Well, you're also paying, $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 for one of these, and you also have to enjoy the power of this truck.
And these trucks make a lot of power and even more, quite a bit more torque. So it's interesting to see how they do on acceleration unladen. And we would love to be able to do some trailering acceleration runs. It's not what the folks that operate the airstrip that are kind enough to let us use it want. So there might be a way at some point we can work out a trailering acceleration run. But with our current setup, not something we can really pull together. But to no surprise, the Ram versus the Duramax shot away from the new Cummins. It's got more horsepower. It's got more gears. It's actually lighter, longer wheelbase truck.
Yeah.
And the thing about the Cummins and the Ram, a lot of torque, but it's not a rev-happy engine.
Yeah.
Those two diesel V8s seem to really like to ring out and live in the top end, and the Ram kind of short shifts and lumbers along.
Well, by revving out, you're talking about 3,500 RPM.
Yeah, they're not hitting 10K. They're not Formula One cars.
But the Cummins likes to shift before 3,000.
Yeah.
It's really a straight six That's kind of how semis do. I mean, for a semi truck, if you're running at 2,000 RPM, you're way up there in as far as RPM range. So, and that's how the character of the Cummins engine as well in the Ram heavy duty. I was really rooting for the Ram because I wanted that 8-speed and the improvement in horsepower that they made and all those things. I wanted it to combine for really like a lightning fast.
Yeah.
But like you said, it's not the character of that engine. The character is a little bit more, let's do some work.
It's just not how it's designed to act from the factory. But the real surprise in the drag race was the high output Ford versus the Chevy. And I think that the Ford actually makes so much power and so much torque that it really has to scale back on that as it's accelerating to keep from just throwing the tires off the wheels.
Yeah.
Because it's a heavy truck. It's a lot of torque. The Chevy seemed to be a little less limited because we ran several races and the Chevy, the Duramax, consistently pulled away from
the Ford. You could kind of see it if you're watching it. And that's why we love doing drag racing, because you and I can take the trucks with trailers. And we did it on the Ike, actually.
Yeah.
We did acceleration with trailers on the Ike. But it's one thing doing it one by one versus compare it side by side, because it's a very visual thing.
And one thing being hooked up to a trailer versus unladen on an unprepped surface, but still kind of a drag strip.
Yeah.
And the Chevy almost seems to be a little bit of a Goldilocks zone for unladen acceleration, if that's something that matters to you. And that doesn't surprise me a ton after driving Duramaxes around, because they are sporty trucks.
Yeah, and we're talking about like 0.1 of a second here. So we're not talking huge margins,
no.
But the Duramax, in certain conditions, we tried two-wheel drive and four-wheel drive several races. An interesting thing happened in the four-wheel drive because the Ford leapt off the line, but then slowed down almost a little bit.
Yeah, seemed to once again kind of pull back. The one area where the Ford did win was a rolling race. So from a dig, the Chevy just seemed to pull less power. But if you're talking about passing power, if you're going down a long stretch of highway and you see an opening and you want to pull out and get ahead of a car, then the Ford seems to do that a little bit quicker, but it's pretty marginal. All of these trucks make tons of power and tons of torque.
Okay, so now it's a little bit more even. You know, Ford edged out on the Ike. GM truck, in many cases, edged out a little bit on the drag race. Let's talk about off-roading for a second. Because that's, let's talk about, you know, why is off-roading important in a heavy-duty truck? It's not like you're going to climb Moab with them every day, but on the job site.
Yeah, you
right?
definitely come across rugged job sites. And if you want to go outside of the diesels, still the king in the HD off-road category is going to be the Ram Power Wagon with front and rear lockers and a winch.
Disconnectable front sway bar.
Disconnected sway bar.
Yeah.
So that is a great truck, but if we're focusing on the particular diesels that we were testing, the story is a little different.
Exactly, and the Rebel, does offer a lot more towing than the Power Wagon. The Power Wagon is rated under 11,000 pounds of towing, like 10,500 or so. The Rebel is rated at about, 18 to 19,000 pounds of towing. So if you do want to pull a trailer, the Rebel HD is kind of where you should lean towards. Of course, or dually, depending on how much, depending on how much you're pulling. But you know, job sites, going out on a vacation with your family, maybe pulling a camper, but also leaving a camper at the campsite and exploring in your truck. You know, just going a little bit further. Those are some of the use cases. So the Chevy, we're watching our GM Trail Boss Heavy Duty versus Heavy Duty Rebel. In Moab, this was Roman and I. Unfortunately, we couldn't get the Tremor there just on this moment. But the one benefit that the Ram has, it's a shorter wheelbase.
Yeah.
So the wheelbase is around 10 inches shorter, which makes it a slightly bit more maneuverable. All these trucks are giant.
And compared to the Chevy, and similar to the Ford, it does have a selectable rear locker.
Yes, so it's very predictable. Where in the GM truck, the G80 works.
Got to let it spin a little first.
Yeah, and you saw that clip just in the beginning of this video and also coming up where there's an obstacle called One Tree Hill. Basically, it's kind of a little bit off camber to the left towards the tree, and it's a very steep climb. And the GM truck rotate it a little bit because it needed time.
Started sliding toward the tree, which is not what you want.
Yeah, it needed some time for the locker to engage itself. And while the mechanical, you know, gears were trying to mesh and the locker was being selected, Yeah, and that's not very pleasant when you're flying towards a tree.
That is exactly the worst case scenario on One Tree Hill, is sliding far enough to touch a tree, which didn't happen, which is good.
Yeah.
And props to Roman for sticking with it, because I probably would have let off there.
Yeah, which is probably also could get you in some trouble, because then you have to back up, right?
Yeah.
Which is not ideal.
Yeah, and the G80, definitely not as predictable, still gets the job done. But all of these trucks, one of their biggest limiting factors, other than suspension comfort, because they all ride pretty stiff, one of their biggest limiting factors is visibility. And the Ram is a particularly bad example of it, because these new Rams have a hood design with this big bulge in the center that is completely for no actual use. It's purely a styling element. And not that it's a bad-looking hood, but when you're sitting in the driver's seat, you see this unbelievably large mound in the center of the hood that didn't used to be there on previous Cummins generations, and it blocks a lot of your visibility. All of these trucks, it's hard to see over the hood, every single one of them, because they've got these big, tall, boxy front ends. So depending on where you're driving off-road and what the pitch, the angle of what you're driving over is, you might not be able to see what is 15 feet ahead of you on the ground. So by the time you're actually driving over some of these rocks, you don't really know where your front tires are relative to them. And these camera systems become something that you kind of have to lean on more than I would like. I don't love leaning on these camera systems. They've gotten pretty good. They still flatten out a lot of the rocks. I'd always rather just be able to look out of the window and see what's immediately in front of me. And you really can't do that on these trucks. But the Ram, it just feels like it made that sacrifice to no benefit.
Exactly. But I have some good news. I agree with you. The hood bulge is taking away a lot of visibility in the new Ram, but it's a feature of the Power Wagon Sport Hood and the HD Rebel Sport Hood. I recently did a video that we haven't published quite yet, where I compared the Rebel against the Tradesman, mm-hmm. the new Cummins, and also Laramie, and those have flat hoods. So
it's only if you get the off-road models that you can't see what you're driving over.
Oh, geez. I don't know why that's the case. Anyways, so at least there are options. You can buy different trim
that's
levels.
That's true. If you want to get really extreme, you could maybe swap out the hood, get, you know, order through your dealership or something.
Yeah. Get a different hood, because the hood scope on the Ram is not functional. I mean, no. It would be one thing if it was functional.
And if it served a purpose.
Yeah.
If the motor was actually so big it needed a hood bulge, or if the intake was built into that. But that vent on the front of that hood is closed. It doesn't open up.
So it's aesthetic.
It's purely cosmetic, yeah.
Anyways, so I would say, I mean, gosh, it's really hard to pick a winner off-road. I also want to ask you about what happened with the Tremor.
Yeah, Tommy and I took the Tremor off-road.
On fins and things, too?
On the exact same trail,
okay.
Same kind of conditions. It was a week apart that we took them there, so the trail would have been in the same condition, especially as few people as are there.
Yeah,
we
haven't
year.
Published the Ford video quite yet as we're recording this.
That one hasn't gone up yet, but the Ford did well considering its size. Once again, good tires, good traction. Having the selectable rear locker is always nice.
Did you slide towards the tree any? Do you remember?
A little bit. Yeah, okay. So had the rear locker engaged and had enough spin that it was sliding toward the tree. So backed up just a little bit and carried some momentum into it, because the initial run at One Tree Hill was with as little momentum as possible to try and test out the traction and the four-wheel drive system. So using a little bit of momentum, got it up there, no problem. Like the other trucks, it's got quite a bit of clearance. It's got big diameter tires, so none of that is an issue. Clearance is pretty good. The biggest drawbacks, other than visibility and suspension comfort, like we talked about, which you can work around, is the size of the truck, the length of it, the width.
And also the weight of these trucks.
Yeah, all of that really factors into how well they perform off-road.
And also, we didn't take any of them up the wall. So there's an area where you finish one of the loops on fins and things, and then you can go right, toward that big wall that we've done in some other vehicles.
We've done it in some modified
heavy duties. Yeah.
It wouldn't be a great idea in the three trucks that we've just had at the office.
Exactly, because they don't have any extra lift to them per se. Plus, the breakover becomes a problem, right? Because once you crest that big hill, now you're kind of high centered.
And a lot of these trucks had power steps. What we don't want to do is smash and destroy one of those because they can be very expensive. And if you hit those power steps, depending on the design of the step, that can even mess with some of the sheet metal on the other side of it. So it can get to be a pretty big deal.
I noticed something cool in the Ram Heavy Duty Rebel. When I selected four-wheel drive low, the steps disabled automatically. So they stopped deploying.
So they won't open up into a rock, which is smart. That's a good feature.
Yeah, so that's, you know, and that's when, you know, the technology is working for you, not against you, because there's a lot of instances in new vehicles where the technology is just kind of getting in the way of different things happening. But sometimes these manufacturers really have the technology that really helps out. So it's really hard to pick a winner.
Yeah.
I did have a tiny scrape on the hitch of the Ram on fins and things, especially on the butt scratcher part. And then I scratched a little bit of, there's a plastic trim piece on the rear bumper. I also scratched that. Did you scratch any of the bumpers on the
Ford? Just a hitch receiver.
Okay.
So it didn't touch a bumper.
So yeah, so it's kind of difficult to judge, especially because off-road, so many variables are happening, you know, different drivers, different styles.
Yeah, they're relatively evenly matched on
off-road. Oh, that's painful to watch.
Yeah.
I'm scraping a little bit of my bumper.
Oof.
So that may have been my fault. I mean, I'll claim my fault because if I chose a slightly different line, it may have been a little bit better. So anyways, very close. They all did it. But the Ram, I mean, I did use a little bit of momentum on One Tree Hill, but the Ram actually never stopped once. So it was very confident.
Yeah. So maybe giving it to the Ram? What do you think?
Yeah, maybe. Because it's also, remember, we took our previous 2022 Ram Cummins. It was kind of jerky.
Definitely gets the award for most improved. The new transmission in low range is a lot easier to modulate the throttle on the old one, like you said.
Yeah.
Very on-off.
Yeah, and also you can get some feedback from the display. It'll tell you which gear you're in the Ram. And usually starts out in second. And kind of helps that smoothness.
Yeah.
If I
had to weigh in my feeling about it, I would say short wheelbase off-road on the Ram is nice. And the availability of the Power Wagon is also a pretty big deal. So in off-road, maybe give it to the Ram.
I think, yeah. So now it's getting even harder. You know, towing test, drag race test. Let's talk about efficiency while towing.
Yeah. Because we've done a couple tests, like you mentioned, there was the brief MPG on the uphill of the Ike, but that's
which Ram
just a stretch of 8 miles.
Yeah, Ram, and we were basing it on the trip meter itself, and Ram did better according to the trip meter. But then the three of us, you, Tommy, and I, we took the three trucks. We haven't published this yet, as of this podcast taping. But we took three identical trailers. Well, one of them was not quite identical to the other two. And we ran Denver 100 RMPG loop, which is 111 miles around Denver, Colorado, using basically toll roads, highways for the most part. And I was expecting Ram to be near the top, but it was kind of a bummer.
It was what, right in the middle?
I think
the Chevy came in at the bottom. Then the Ram, and then the Ford did the best.
And then
RPG.
The Ford did the best. Yeah, so the Ford is actually quite impressive still. So the similar thing happened with the dualies when we tested them 2 years ago. The Power Stroke high output dually with this same trailer load was also more efficient. So I thought, you know, is the Ram, you know, going to beat it this time or not? Ford came out on top as well. And I think it just has to do with something with, and we're talking about off-road trucks too. These are not special towing specifications of these trucks.
Yeah, there's more efficient trims out there for sure.
So it was quite impressive what Ford is able to do with the engine design and just maybe the 10-speed was a little bit of a benefit with just – and how much torque it has.
Yeah.
You know, I think for the most of that loop, I was probably in 10th gear. That's just how much torque that power stroke has. It doesn't have to downshift.
It's not breaking a sweat.
It's not breaking a lot of sweat. We were pulling 28-foot-long box trailers.
Pushing a lot of air.
And also it was windy.
Yeah, yeah, it sure was.
Yeah, so yeah, the Ford kind of eked out on that, on the efficiency.
Yeah,
so.
And overall, we might have to chalk up the Ford as the winner of all of our combined testing, and that's coming from me as well. I don't think anyone would accuse me of being a Ford fanboy.
Yeah.
I have an old 12-valve Cummins,
yeah,
and I love the Rams, and you know, you've had a Duramax in the past.
Yeah.
The Ford does a great job. All of these trucks are very capable. They're very evenly matched in most areas, so you really can't go wrong with any one of them. It depends on what particular features, what particular looks and trim packages and qualities in a truck that you like. Do you want a slightly shorter wheelbase and something that's easier to store somewhere? That might draw you to the Ram. Do you like that really big power output that you can get in the Ford? And you know, GM as well. Fast accelerating.
A great combination, truck. Yeah.
A lot of packages you could get. Also a sizable standard bed on that, and some really good tie downs that you can get in those beds. So,
and also Ram and Ford now offer power export features in the bed. So Ford has a 2-kilowatt system, and the Ram has 2.4-kilowatt system in the bed. GM is offering just a 400-watt, a lower output system in the bed, and I'm hoping GM will catch up very, very soon.
Yeah.
And offer a little bit, you know, some of those features too. It's great for powering, you know, saws, power tools, you know, maybe even having some fun, like a little fridge or a cooktop.
Also, is the Duramax the least expensive diesel to spec?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right now, the Duramax, it will cost you about $10,000 to get the Allison Duramax combo. Yeah,
which is a couple thousand less than the other two.
Yeah. The new ZF Cummins combo is $12,600, and the new high output Power Stroke, well, it's not new, but the latest one is almost $13,000. It's $12,009. Although the power takeoff features, so if you have a snowplow, if you're doing some other things with your heavy-duty truck, you can get power takeoff features on all three manufacturers, but you have to pay extra on the GM.
Yeah.
So you have to be kind of mindful of that. If you need a power takeoff unit for additional compressors or hydraulic pumps, it'll cost you a bit extra.
Yeah.
There.
We tried to do as much testing as we can, and that's probably our verdict at the end of it. But at the end of the day, there's no wrong answers. And if you're shopping for a truck and looking for confirmation, then all the confirmation we can give is go get the truck you want.
Or buy a Power Stroke.
Or you could do that.
And the reason why I said that is because, I mean, it did win the efficiency test. It did really well in the Ike. I mean, it's still, I think, as close as these trucks are, and we're splitting hairs at
this
point.
You just can't go wrong.
The Power Stroke is still the benchmark. I mean, I think GM and even Ram, I don't know what Ram can do. I mean, they could, maybe they sandbagged a little bit for this year. Because what's happening in 2026 and 2027, and we don't know exactly what the EPA will do with emissions regulations quite yet. We have a separate story about this on alltfl.com. But there's rumors that all three of them are cooking something up.
I want to see a 7.2 Cummins.
Yes. You know what I also want to see? I want to test the gasoline-powered Cummins.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Because it's also
somebody
available.
Get on that.
Send us one, please. No. So maybe Ram was sandbagging with Cummins a little bit for this year, and maybe they have something, coming up in a year or two.
Yeah.
Could
be cool.
To wait and see.
Yeah, we like it when new trucks come out. It gives us something to do.
Yeah. But I have to say it. I mean, Power Stroke was still really, really good.
Yeah. That's fair enough.
Hey, yeah.
It
anyways,
is.
So we'll be testing some dually trucks coming up soon, I really hope, because as good as this Ike was, I want to do another really heavy Ike, and really push these dualies, because the dualies actually have similar payloads.
Yeah.
So we can load up as much stuff on them as possible.
Yeah, and there's enough difference between the dualies and the 250 or 2500 versions of these trucks that it might yield very different results, so it would make for another really great video.
Plus, will we drag race them? Probably.
Yeah, why not? Plus, anytime we can bust out some dualies in a really big trailer with some big equipment on it.
Well, you know what's great about drag racing dualies is you have more rubber on the road.
Yeah.
Which more traction on the road, which means you can accelerate potentially really, really great.
That's why anyone buys a dually.
Exactly. Let's put slicks on them too.
Big Hoosiers.
There you go. Yeah. Well, thanks. Well, hopefully this gives you kind of an overview of the heavy-duty truck segment for the latest ones and the sales data and some of the cool news that we've had recently.
Absolutely, and some of what we've been up to. So that's all for
and
this.
And coming up, huge news. Oh, my God, I forgot about the Easter Jeep Safari.
That's true. That's coming up. That's a little bit more on the car and off-road side.
Yeah, that's next week. Jeep is rolling out some concept. Check it out also on our website, TFL Truck, because there's a very cool concept called the Convoy that's coming up next week. I'll be in New York City next week as well for the New York Auto Show. And we'll have Navigator news as well, Lincoln Navigator.
As always, they're staying busy.
Yeah, so a lot more coming up in this area.
Yeah.
Thanks.
See you.